I've been preaching on the series of the Holy Spirit, and I plan to preach 6 sermons on the Holy Spirit, and today is number 4 on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, before I proceed, I'd like to debunk a couple of myths on this subject. Myth number 1 is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that we should be afraid of receiving. In fact, many of us have never heard a sermon or teaching on this subject, like when the Apostle Paul went through the Ephesus and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "We never heard of that, even such a thing as the Holy Spirit." Okay, so some of us, many of us never heard of the sermon or teaching on this subject. And some of us may have a misconception that it must be a scary thing or unwanted experience. Others even have negative experiences with those folks who claim that they have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. I, for one time I remember someone claimed that he was baptized with the Holy Spirit, prophesying all these things, and I was scared to death, and it happened to be a bogus. It was not a true prophecy. So all these things make us like afraid of even the idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The truth of the matter is that God wants every believer, you and me, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. In Acts chapter 2 verse 17, it says, "And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind," flesh, literally every individual, "and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." So I could say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every believer. And therefore, we should not only properly understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but also shake off any unfounded fears or misconceptions over the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Myth number 2. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is no longer available or relevant to us. Now, there are some scholars who argue that the baptism of the Holy Spirit only took place 2,000 years ago in the days of early church, when the apostles were still alive and active. It was one-time action in history of the church, they claim, and after that, it has not happened again. Therefore, they conclude, we do not need to worry about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But I disagree with those scholars, because it is clear that God's Spirit visited God's people and God's church over and over again. For instance, in the Old Testament times, did you know that God's Spirit fell upon His servants, prophets and seers alike, and they used them in a mighty way? For example, Samson, we all know the story well, who lost his eyes, who got blind after he fell in love with Delilah. But he was a mighty warrior used by God when the Spirit of God fell upon him. Gideon was another one. And you heard of the name Elijah and Elisha, those prophets. Several centuries later, the Spirit visited again, this time the early church Christians. The book of Acts is full of stories of how God used these people after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit did not stop there. It continued in the Reformation era through Martin Luther and Calvin, John Calvin, in the 16th century. And 200 years later, in England, John Wesley was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and he started Methodist movement. And it also continued on, even in America, in 1907, on the streets of Los Angeles, The believers were baptized one more time with the Holy Spirit, and that was the beginning of the Pentecostal movement in America. Even today, in the early 21st century, all over the world, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit continues. So I am fully convinced that in contemporary churches, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not only relevant, but also available to every believer who's eager to receive it. So now, with that in your mind, let's think about the meaning of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. First of all, let me define what I mean by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It literally means to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, like we're baptized with water. It means the outpouring, not infilling. I'll explain to you later on. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on God's children from above. It means immersion in the Holy Spirit as we are immersed in water baptism. I owe this illustration to Derek Prince, wonderful pastor and theologian. He explained this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is like immersion from above, like water falling from above. Not just the puddles of water, but walking through the Niagara Falls. I've been to Niagara Falls 3 times, and I know what is it like. There's plenty of water. Can you imagine walking under the Niagara Falls and through the Niagara Falls and all this water pouring upon you? Immersion from above. Now, there are a variety of expressions in the Bible referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're all expressed in different ways, but they all mean the same, baptism of the Holy Spirit. For instance, when you read any phrases like this, the Spirit descended upon a person, or the Holy Spirit came upon a person, or Holy Spirit rushed upon a person, or the Holy Spirit fell upon a person. You see the pattern now, upon, 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 okay? Oh, there are other expressions such as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon, or the person was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, or the person received the Holy Spirit as a gift, and so on. All these expressions, in a nutshell, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit means to receive the power of God coming directly upon the believer through God's Spirit. So you get the idea. Now, let me distinguish here between the being filled with the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we heard of that expression before, takes place inside the believer. Baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place outside of the believer. That's the fine difference. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the inner work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's heart. It always brings forth and generates the change of the believer and bears the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life, like listed in Galatians 5, 20 through to 23. However, the baptism is the work of the Holy Spirit upon the believer, not within the believer. In other words, it is the outward ministry of the Holy Spirit, like the water baptism washes us outside, not inside. And since it's the outside work of the Holy Spirit, it does not necessarily generate the inner change of the believer who is baptized with the Spirit. The person who is baptized with the Holy Spirit may perform many signs and wonders in the name of the Lord. However, the person, the inner personality may not change at all. And let me give you an example. If you read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, where Jesus is talking to us, let me read it. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. It puzzled me many a time, and I'm sure it did to you too, if you know the scripture, why all these people perform the wonders and signs in the name of Jesus, And in the end, Jesus says, I never knew you. And I realized because they were baptized outside by the Holy Spirit, yet there was no interchange took place. So that's the fine difference there. And I hope, you know, I'll get to that later on too. But anyway, here's the real example. True story of an evangelist who was, you know, well known in the Crusades, and he brought hundreds, if not thousands, of people to Christ through his Crusades. And the only problem was that he was a married man, and he was on the road constantly with his team, and unfortunately he was involved in adulterous relationship with one of the female staff. And there was another male staff working, and he realized this when he confronted the evangelist, saying, how could you, a man of God, involved in such an adulterous relationship with another woman? And instead of repenting of his sin, this evangelist, what's wrong with that? God still uses me, and you'll see it tonight. They happened to have a crusade that night, and sure enough, after the message, this, you know, evangelist invited hundreds of people to come to Christ, and they're all flocking, you know, walking toward the front. And the evangelist, looking at this male staff, and in a mocking way, say, see, God still uses me. So that tells me the fine difference between the still could be baptized by the Holy Spirit and used by God, but there's no interchange takes place. As I said, I'll, you know, take time, explain a little more on this kind of things later on. But today, let me move on. So what happens to the believer if he or she is baptized with the Holy Spirit? The most common experience to the believer who received the Holy Spirit is speaking in different language. As the Bible puts, speaking in tongues. And we all know that, you know, the Pentecostal Sunday in Acts chapter 2, 120 people gathered together in one place, devoted themselves to prayer for 10 days, and after that, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and all of them began to speak in different language. And we also saw in today's text, you know, that when Paul laid his hand on those individuals, they also spoke in different tongues as well. That's the common experience. There are other signs of the baptism of the Holy Spirit are listed in the Bible. They're called the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discerning of the spirits, and speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. And furthermore, the believer also can receive the gifts of serving, teaching, encouraging, helping the needy, and leadership, and showing mercy. Just name a few. Now, we must remember that these gifts, the signs of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are given to the believer not for individual gain, but for the glory of the Lord, and for the good of all, and for the benefit of the church, and for the edification of the believers. A question arises in our minds then. Do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? My answer is a resounding yes, in all capital, Y-E-S. Because it is true that we can grow maturely and mature inwardly. You know, then, in other words, bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, even though we are never baptized with the Holy Spirit. However, we will lack the power of God, which is dunamis in Greek. And by the way, those English words such as dynamites and dynamic comes from the Greek word dunamis, power of God. We may lack the power of God, dunamis, when we serve God in a local church without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In my humble opinion, there's a huge difference between serving God in the power of the Holy Spirit, with dunamis, and serving Him without it. It's like going to New York City by car. It may take 2 hours, or if you start on foot, it may take 2 days. The power of the Holy Spirit enables and empowers us to serve God more powerfully and more effectively that way. Here's another reason why every believer needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit: for the sake of the church. In my humble opinion, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the church cannot have either inward maturity or outward growth. You're talking about some churches growing in number by the result of human ideas and programs and wisdom, but in my opinion, that is not true growth. For quality growth, the church needs powerful people, such as apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, to equip and train God's people. For quantity growth, the church also needs powerful witnesses, of whom most of the contemporary churches lack. Our church is one of them. We do not have powerful witnesses who are filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. I said the church needs dynamic witnesses for Christ, and without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be dynamic witnesses. For the same reason, if you think of Jesus, who commanded his disciples not to leave Jerusalem and not to proclaim the gospel until they receive the Holy Spirit, the dunamis I'm talking about. Listen to Father Archer Torrey, once who said, I quote, "If an entire local church were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and if every new convert were baptized with the Spirit as well, then every year the church would grow twice in number. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit," he continues, "it is impossible to spread the gospel to the end of the earth, even though 1,000 or even 2,000 years were given to us." He concludes, "Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the number of non-believers would outnumber that of churches." I think that's true. "Children of the Christians would become unbelievers." That happens too. "And if the parents were not baptized with the Holy Spirit, how could they educate and influence their children to become authentic Christians?" That has come true too. Now, the real question for all of us is this: how to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? And let me tell you, there is no appointed way to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And some believers in the Bible were baptized with the Holy Spirit when they were gathered in the name of Jesus with united heart, and when they were praising God and fasting and praying to God and listening to the word of God proclaimed, like you are doing now. And others were baptized when the apostles laid their hands on them, like we read today. And considering all the works of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, I can say only one thing for sure. The Spirit of God does not want to be limited or boxed in by any human ways. And since our God is the all-powerful God, He will baptize us with His Spirit whenever and wherever and in whatever ways according to His will. Speaking for myself, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit when someone, my pastor, many years ago, laid his hand on me. All of a sudden, I began to speak in tongues, and not that I intended, but it just happened to me. Others, you know, like many different people I know, they just received the Holy Spirit in different ways. Then the most important thing for us to remember is this: the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for you, for every believer, not just for the pastors or not just for super spiritual people. And furthermore, if we believe that we are God's children and that God is our Heavenly Father, then His promise to give you the Holy Spirit is for you to claim. As long as it is for the glory of God, and as long as it is for the sake of the church, and as long as we sincerely desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then God will surely grant us the wish, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my prayer for all of us is that we would be baptized with the Holy Spirit one way or the other. Now, as for closing, if you think you are already baptized with the Holy Spirit, praise God and keep your gift burning. If you don't think you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, the promise is there for you. I'm going to give you one, that is Luke chapter 11, verse 13. Jesus saying again to us, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Let me repeat the last sentence. "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" Here are the simple steps for us to take. First one is that desire the Holy Spirit. You must desire the Holy Spirit because no one can force you to accept the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit if you don't want to. God will never force you to take that. Next, ask God to forgive any sins in you because sins will block us from receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then ask God for the Holy Spirit. And finally, believe that you have received the Holy Spirit. Very simple steps. So for those folks who desire to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it could happen today or it could happen later on, but those wish to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to lead in prayer. So if you desire to receive the Holy Spirit, I invite you to stand on your foot now, if you desire. As I said, you have to ask yourself, do I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit yourself or not? Okay? If you do, and let's close our eyes and say after me the following prayer. Lord, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. I repent of my sins, both intentional and unintentional. I desire the baptism of your Spirit. I come to you, Jesus, the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, so that you may pour out your Spirit upon me. Thanks for answering my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you.